Free Talk Live. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. That's why we call it Free Talk Live. So call in and talk freely here on the airwaves. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. And Angie, you brought an article that caught my attention. And it has to do with an Olympian eating plant-based diet.
That is correct. They clean up their diet and they do very well.
All right. So tell me about it.
It is on health.usnews.com. Athletes can thrive on plant-based diets. Some elite athletes are going vegetarian or vegan to boost recovery and performance. Athletes are always looking for a competitive edge, and that could mean swearing off meat. Elite athletes from Olympians to NFL linebackers are adopting vegan or vegetarian diets for improved performance, quicker recovery, and overall health.
Now, I have heard of some football players that are just sort of swearing off meat. I'm somewhat surprised by it. Because, you know, to be a linebacker, not a lineman, a linebacker, there's a difference between these two. Yeah, to be a linebacker, you got to be quick, you got to be muscular, you got to be sort of big, a lot of things. And one associates that with consuming animal products.
Right.
And some of these guys aren't doing that anymore. Now, many of them got to be the size they are by consuming animal products. They're just not going any farther with it. So I find all of it sort of interesting. Now, I don't want to hear anything from vegans and morality and stuff like that. I just find that argument, line of argumentation, to be spurious and unexciting. But obviously, people want to eat diets that make them feel better and perform better.
Even if you're into running half marathons or otherwise competing for personal enjoyment, growing evidence suggests that following a plant-based diet could help you get leaner and train better.
I could used to be a little leaner.
Dotsy Bosch is an Olympic medalist and a true believer in diets that are free from animal products. Now retired from competitive cycling, Bosch is a multiple USA cycling national champion, two-time Pan American champion, and silver medalist in women's cycling team pursuit in the 2012 Summer Olympics in London.
Now the endurance of these cyclists is incredible. I mean, it's just, as a matter of fact, I spoke with somebody who's a spin instructor not too long ago, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and she was talking about what it was like to compete or to ride alongside of somebody who was an Olympic cyclist. And she said that a spin instructor just got nothing for an Olympic
for sure.
cyclist. Like, there's no comparison to how long they can go. Like, the speeds they've got, I guess they measure these things in wattage, so it has to do with how much energy is produced by the bike. And so they could hit these close to, or at least see the neighborhood that the cyclist was in, but as far as holding it, they couldn't even come close.
Oh no. Yeah. It would be impossible.
Well, it wouldn't be impossible, but it would take a long time to get there.
A lot of training.
Yeah.
As an elite athlete, she embraced plant-based eating about 9 years ago and has since become a full-time advocate. For Bosch, healthy eating means a vegan rather than vegetarian diet. Dairy products are not okay for her from her perspective. An anti-cow's milk PSA featuring Bosch and five fellow Olympians, which aired during coverage of the closing ceremony of the 2018 Winter Olympics Games in South Korea, makes that clear. Today, she's 45 and executive director of nonprofit Switch for Good, an athlete-led coalition aiming to build a dairy-free future.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen this ad that you're talking about, but I see the warning word vegan here. I just always wonder, are they trying to push their agenda on me in some surreptitious way?
One thing I can tell you, it is illegal in certain states, I believe, like couple big milk states like New York,
Wisconsin,
Illinois, and even Colorado to do anti-dairy.
Mm.
They actually have laws against it. In fact, Wisconsin's so tyrannical when it comes to dairy that you can't get Kerrygold butter in Wisconsin because they have a blockade on imported butter.
Wow.
And Kerrygold butter, for example.
Where's it come from? Ireland?
Ireland, where... Okay. Where grass grows really well year-round because of its geographical location, And so the cows aren't getting fed any grain, and they're not getting any GMOs. It's actually probably the highest quality butter you can get in the United States, and you can't get it in Wisconsin as of a few years ago. So I wonder, because the dairy industry has a huge lobby, and they have, and actually my stepfather's a dairyman, and literally like 10 cents on every 100 pounds of milk goes towards dairy
marketing.
Yeah, it's marketing, promotion.
I mean, everybody remembers Got Milk.
Right.
Oh, for
sure. Yeah, those ads didn't get on the TV because television stations like milk, you know. They got on there because they were paid for.
And the dairy farmers, like, they all really complain about this because, you know, when you ship, you know, 50, 60,000 pounds of milk a day and every, you know, 10, 12 cents on every 100 weight, you know, over a year, that's like a new pickup truck. And they have no choice.
Sure. They're part of the union.
Basically, you know, these creameries are all memberships and with whatever they. And it's even law in, like, I believe New York, which is crazy. Like, you can't even. I can't sell milk to you. And first off, I need a license, but also they go after you for not participating in the, you know, the tax to advertise milk. It's a crazy lobby.
Yeah, I know that there are some states where the Amish, when they sell raw milk, get in trouble.
That's happened.
It doesn't happen here in New Hampshire. And in Florida, I know that my wife was getting raw milk when my son was nursing. That was a big deal. God, I had that. My God, he couldn't change his little schedule. And in order to get that, they had to label it a pet product.
That's what we did in North Carolina.
Yeah, meaning that it is for the consumption of animals, not for the consumption of humans. And, you know, obviously we used it for whatever we used it for. Yep. We bought it as a pet product and used it for whatever we wanted to use it for.
I inconsistent with labeling. Isn't that a felony in some places?
I'm sure.
Anyways, I have a friend a little town on Seneca Lake, Lodi, New York, and he actually did prison time. Well, he did jail time. Because he couldn't afford bail, and then he got bailed out, and he actually fought the case for like 4 years, was on probation, he couldn't leave like the state. He had all this stuff over. He was charged with all kinds of crazy stuff, basically giving a poor neighbor who had like 7 kids milk for like, you know, a buck
some
a gallon
price.
Or something, you know, like less than his. He was just helping the people out.
Yeah.
And some...
So he would have been better off just giving it than, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he charged him like a buck a gallon, and a couple of the kids come over and clean stalls and stuff. And what it was like a DCF worker that, like, saw the milk in a refrigerator or something and was like, well, what is this? You know, it's just in a glass mason jar. And, like, where did this come from? And, you know, oh, a guy right down the road gives it to me for $1 a gallon. Yep, they were in there arresting him and whole 9 yards. And
wow.
He was when he was arraigned. There was a guy that was arraigned before him that was facing the same amount of time for actually having heroin. I don't know if he was for possession or if it was for distribution or whatever, but he just couldn't believe that. And that's what actually turned this guy into a libertarian.
Well, controlled substances need to be punished, right?
Yeah, raw milk's a controlled substance.
But pretty close.
Some places.
Yeah, so this article is coming from usnews.com. Now, I don't know that they don't seem like, they don't seem like one of these sites that's got a huge drum to beat on this, but Lisa Esposito writes.
Well, the article goes on down a little bit, and it talks about how athletes work. It says athletes who follow plant-based diets could see improvements in their heart health, performance, and recovery. Suggests a new review of studies published online Thursday in the journal Nutrients. First, researchers looked at evidence of traditional dietary shortcomings and negative health effects in athletes. Next, they summarized potential benefits of plant-based diets on athletes' heart health, recovery, and performance.
Right. The Olympian here was saying that basically that her performance because her recovery went way up, her performance went up.
Right.
You know, that basically, you know, the quicker you recover, the more you can train, and then, you know, it goes from there. And it said something about not feeling inflammation, creaky, and sore, just kind of blah in the morning. And I guess I don't know about the rest of you, but I feel that way. I don't know what inflamed means, but I'm certainly creaky, sore, and feel blah in the morning. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. If you've got any thoughts on this subject, I'd love to hear them. 855-450-3733. Talk Live. Call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
But in the absence of that, we're going to talk about what Angie wants to talk about. And what I want to talk about here is the consumption of a plant-based diet and this article from U.S. News that's sort of talking about athletes and their, in many cases, they're switching over. And I think that's all pretty interesting because, well, you know, I mean, I have these symptoms they're talking about here, creaky, sore, and just kind of blah in the morning. I don't know about you, but that sounds like most of America would be my guess. And most of America should try My Magic Mud. My Magic Mud is a black tooth powder made of charcoalized coconut shell husks and bentonite clay. And I know that sounds weird or whatever, but take a look at your toothpaste's ingredients and see whether or not that sounds so weird after that. Bentonite clay is actually used to bond with bad stuff. They give it to and put it in animal feed and that kind of thing. And yep, it's good for them. It's clinically proven to whiten teeth. Not animal feed, but My Magic Mud, in fact. And beyond that, because sure, I consume things that that stain my teeth, coffee and wine and stuff like that. But when I use My Magic Mud, my teeth feel cleaner. Now, they can't say that it cleans teeth better because they haven't got it clinically proven to say that. But I can tell you what my experience is, and that's my experience. And I will say unequivocally, if you listen to nothing else I say, listen to this. My Magic Mud should be part of your oral hygiene routine. You use it for 4 days, for 4 days, and then you use it once every 4 days to a week, somewhere in there. After that, and I think you'll be like me. You'll never be without it again. It's available at most major health food stores, Sprouts, CVS, Natural Grocers, and Walmart's Natural Beauty Aisle. Not all Walmarts have a Natural Beauty Aisle, but for the ones that do, they've got it. But if you want to have a little savings for your My Magic Mud, just go to mymagicmud.com and use coupon code FTL20. Get the black tooth powder. They've got some flavored varieties there and some for sensitive teeth. MyMagicMud.com, coupon code FTL20.
I have a friend that works with a holistic doctor, and she's actually a listener, Free Talk Live, might be listening right now. And she said that I should mention that, of course, My Magic Mud actually makes your teeth cleaner because the bentonite clay actually somehow like electronically neutralizes bacterias and parasite and all kinds of stuff like in your gut and everything. But what's in your teeth, it neutralizes bacteria at the very least. And there's scientific studies she was telling me about that you can like just Google the bentonite clay and the benefits and just, you know, read about it. Electron level, it actually like neutralizes bacteria's ability to like do bad stuff to your body.
Yeah, I'm getting it's probably been a week or so since I've used the My Magic Mud, and I can tell. I can, you know, put my tongue on my teeth and I can tell it's time to do it. And that's how I generally figure out. It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that. So I'll do it tonight.
That's why I use a toothpaste probably every other day, and the powder at least once a week, maybe twice a week.
Yeah, I use the toothpaste probably daily, and then my wife makes a homemade variety, and then I use the My Magic Mud every 4 to 7 days. So, Angie, back to the article.
Yes. The biggest race, Bosch says, was against time it took her body to recover after training and competing. Changing to a plant-based diet.
So she was a cyclist for the U.S. Cyclist team. Something about pursuit. I'm not sure what that means.
When you recover faster, you can handle more load, she says. You can handle more damage, more training. The more training you can do, the faster you're going to become. People can't train 24 hours a day because you have to recover.
Right.
So if you recover fast, you can train again. So yes, I got much better and much faster.
Yeah, I was watching some special on Michael Phelps, and they had his coach on there, and you know, his coach wanted him to sleep in some special hyperbaric chamber in like Denver or something in order to create red blood cells. And I mean,
did he do it?
Yeah, he did things. He did stuff that's legit. But, you know, they want anything that'll give him an edge. And one of these things that's really important is a good night's sleep so they get recovery.
Oh, for sure. Vegan diets, which include no animal products whatsoever, were the main focus of the review, researchers noted. However, benefits also appeared from vegetarian diets, which allowed dairy products such as milk and eggs. Review authors included Dr. James Loomis, medical director of the Barnard Medical Center in the District of Columbia and a former team internist from the NFL's St. Louis Rams and the MLB's St. Louis Cardinals. The review cited a 2017 study on coronary plaque buildup in older endurance cyclists and runners. Another study found that fewer than half of its Ironman triathlete participants were meeting the recommended carbohydrate intake for endurance athletes.
So fewer than half of its Ironman, okay.
Carbohydrate is the primary energy source during high and moderate intensity aerobic exercise, authors noted. Endurance, both right before athletic events and in the long term, is enhanced by high carb intake, they added. Starting a plant-based diet rich in grains, legumes, and root veggies can boost an athlete's intake of healthy carbs.
Yeah, so, I mean, normally your diet should steer clear of carbohydrates if you're not training or anything like that, but I would agree entirely that
well,
if
not
you're
carbs from vegetables, just carbs from like bread, pasta,
right,
you know, sweet stuff like that.
Well, the grains is where that it's where breads how breads are made.
Well, you can get it in like brown rice, and you can get sure. it in quinoa, stuff like that, and those are healthy carbs.
The difference in anything, especially carbs, like you can get carbs from, you know, Twinkies and Ho-Hos, mm-hmm. and white sugar, which, by the way, is basically the process to make white sugar is the same exact process they use to make cocaine. You know, if that'll tell you anything from, you know, basically organic, molasses. They spin a sugar in a centrifuge and basically the worst part of it is the white sugar part. And then you got molasses left over, which is, used for a sweetener for years and all kinds of things. And also, a great carbohydrate is whole grains, the beans. And then, of course, maple syrup, which, we have a good maple syrup supply right here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, it turns out.
And maple syrup is a complex carbohydrate chain that is, super beneficial for us. So I have definitely noticed.
Sounds like propaganda from the from Big Maple.
Well, there's science behind it. Actually, I've never seen in, all these maple syrup places I go, they don't, explain the science of the complex carbohydrate chain, how it's basically captured in a maple syrup for a long time. And any other place in nature, it's only at peak ripeness. Like, for example, certain types of apples only have this complex carbohydrate chain for a few hours, and then it starts to, as the ripeness goes away, and blueberries only have it for a few hours, but maple syrup retains it for a very long time. And it's quite interesting. But and just like meat and dairy too, if you just, it's so hard to eat clean meat. You know, are there studies where there's guys eating, only meat or dairy that is, from the family farm, they're not getting any glyphosate in it? Because generally when people go to vegan route, they're pretty smart in general, and they're going to stay away from, the factory farmed stuff, yep. The healthy vegans anyways. You got junk food vegans also.
Factory farmed vegetables, right?
Vegetables, yeah. It's harder to get non-factory farmed meat.
Yeah, you have to do a little driving generally to get that done. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Any evidence for or against this? I'd love to hear it. Any stories about Big Maple? 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Can't say that kind of stuff here from New Hampshire.
I'm crazy about My Magic Mud. This is the most important oral care product created this millennium, and I'm not kidding. We all have different opinions on politics and issues, but we all have mouths. And I want yours to be as clean as possible, with teeth as bright as they were meant to be. I will never be without My Magic Mud. It's a little surprising, but man, does it work. If you only listen to one thing I say ever, go to MyMagicMud.com and get 20% off with code FTL. MyMagicMud.com, code FTL.
Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. We're here talking about plant-based diets. I don't even want to say veganism, because they're so annoying. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. I want to tell you first, before we get on, about Bitcoin.com. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to crypto, but it seems like crypto winter, as they were calling it, is over. Yeah, I know. You heard that Bitcoin was dead like a half a dozen different times. Well, I'm telling you, it's not. Especially, it's on the move right now. So you need to check out Bitcoin.com to see what's going on and find out all the good things about all the cryptos that are out there. And if you want to acquire some Bitcoin Cash, they've got a new system called local.bitcoin.com that allow you to buy, sell, trade, and acquire Bitcoin Cash using dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposits, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. And yeah, I really do believe now's a good time to start paying attention to this particular financial sector. Go to Bitcoin.com, whether you're getting your news at news.bitcoin.com, whether you're getting a wallet, whether you're buying some Bitcoin Cash, whatever it is that you need to do, go do it at Bitcoin.com.
I think it is very necessary that, especially if you're used to holding U.S. dollars, that you learn about cryptocurrency, you get a wallet, and just go buy some coffee with it or something. I mean, it's because just it right now is a financial prepper asset. The most likely thing that we're going to have go on in this country, I think, is a financial something. I don't know what it is. And I think Bitcoin is going to be good insurance.
And interestingly, the rise in cryptocurrency values and prices and volume is the term I was looking for, tends to correspond with financial crises around the world. So, for instance, Malta, it was also Venezuela, Iran.
Cyprus,
you know, was it Cyprus, not Malta?
We got Italy that's taken people's monies at a safety deposit box.
Now,
and covered that a couple weeks ago.
Right. So these are just individual nations. But if it were to happen to the United States.
It is. I mean, I brought an article today about it. You know, it's the literal counterfeiting of gold and silver by the big banks who are trading naked shorts on gold and silver. They're literally counterfeiting the paper market, suppressing the price of gold and silver. And
we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
So let's go on with the article, Angie.
Yes.
Bitcoin.com.
Other studies in the review showed increased artery plaque or heart muscle damage in U.S. men and German runners who competed in the multiple marathons compared to sedentary study participants. Athletes are not immune to atherosclerosis or cardiac events, authors wrote. Surprisingly, endurance athletes may have more advanced sclerosis and heart muscle damage compared with sedentary individuals even as they age. What the studies did not show, researchers continued, was whether these changes are consequences of the athletic activity itself or the type of food, such as animal products, used to fuel it. It's possible that low-fat vegan diets have properties that could help protect vulnerable athletes from heart disease risk factors and improve their performance, researchers suggested. Such diets can help reverse plaque, improve high blood cholesterol, and reduce high blood pressure, excess weight, and diabetes risks.
Well, I mean, excess weight's going to help with your high blood pressure, and it's hard to get fat on a vegan diet. It's possible. So diabetes is certainly an issue. I'm thinking that the plaque makes some sense, that because, well, you know, there's lots of fat in meats and certain types of fats, what they call saturated fats, that are in meats. And, you know, maybe that's the issue.
Following a plant-based diet may help athletes in these physiological ways, lowering body fat and promoting leaner body composition, improving glycogen storage in muscle cells through higher carb found in grains, legumes, and root veggies for greater endurance, increasing blood flow and oxygen to the body's tissues, reducing oxidative damage by combating free radicals and antioxidant-rich fruits and veggies, decreasing inflammation and speeding the body's recovery after intensive training, protecting the heart from risk factors like high blood pressure and cholesterol for safer competition.
Yeah, it sounds like, it all sounds so good and so difficult to switch over from eating meat, but I guess it's just the thing that you do. Like, you just decide, well, today's the day I'm going to do it. If you're going to try it out and see whether you feel better, that's mostly what I'd be concerned with, is how do I feel? And interestingly, I've been doing this intermittent fasting for a little while, where you skip breakfast and try to push lunch off as far as you can push it off. That's more or less what it is.
I did that yesterday.
Yeah. And I don't know what your observation is, Jay, but I can say, other than being hungry, I feel great. I mean, I feel awesome.
I make sure I drink plenty of water and I'm not really hungry. I've done a fasting thing, several times on and off, and it is super beneficial. And I even did a thing about a year and a half ago. My wife is really into doing like you know, a month straight of just vegetables or raw vegetables. Really,
wow.
And it's kind of annoying to do in the winter, but it's actually fun to do in the summer because you go, you know, go find stuff in the yard, wild leaves to and plants to put in a blender or to juice. And we got a garden now, so we're actually probably going to do a vegetable raw fast or raw diet for a month pretty soon.
Yeah, the one thing when I do that kind of thing,
I feel good when I do that, actually.
Yeah, because when I don't do it, I'll often be really hungry at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm ready to eat. And then I'll gorge on something that is calorie intensive. So I'm talking cheeseburgers or whatever here. Fasting doesn't mean you're eating a good diet. No. It just means you're not eating until you know, a certain time of day or whatever. And that's intermittent fasting. But when I do that, then I'm like, oh, God, my stomach feels terrible. Then I want a nap or whatever. And so then I went from feeling good, except being hungry. I mean, you know, feeling hungry is not necessarily feeling good, but otherwise I feel great, to feeling like, oh. So having some kind of transition between those two things would be really awesome and probably keep productivity up for work.
You could probably meal prep. If you had something ready and you were hungry and you were home and you had drank water from the time that you stopped eating your dinner until you got ready to eat your lunch, it would be much healthier for you. Something that you know you're going to enjoy, some meat, some vegetable that you appreciate.
Yeah, my wife made me a nice garden salad from all the garden stuff and had it all just in the refrigerator. And she's like, yep, a couple hours before you go to go do the show, make sure you eat something. Because a lot of times I'll just work up, time to go to Keen. And like I'll leave
cheeseburger
here and I'll grab a, you know, something out of the cooler, you know, and a candy bar, not really a candy bar, but some kind of munchie at the gas station. One of those, you know, sandwiches that is just, you know, the lowest common denominator, whatever's in it.
Right.
You know,
white bread, sure, turkey. Yep. some iceberg cheese. Lettuce. Yeah. Not expensive, but.
And just, you know, so
just sustenance.
I avoid doing that if I remember to eat, like, before I get in a truck to head here, you know?
The one thing about eating sort of the vegetable-based diet is that you got to eat often. You got to be prepared to continue to consume the food.
And carry it with you.
Yep. And if you have any issues with regularity, it's going to solve that. It's going to solve it right off.
blending it is really awesome.
Yeah, I do that too.
We have a Vitamix, and if you can't handle, like, you know, the wild lettuce, the dandelion, the clover, and then I put kale and just like greens from other stuff in the garden in there. It's kind of bitter. Yep, throw some blueberries in there.
Right.
Throw some strawberries in there.
On top of that, it's just a salad takes a long time to eat.
And you can't eat it while you're driving. Well, you can, but it's difficult.
The green drink, on the other hand, that's what we call it, or I'll call it swamp water. You know, one of the two. But the, you know, this, it's a vegetable smoothie with berries and, you know, and then these kind of things, and some apple.
When Jack was at my house one time and we made a smoothie, and he's like, no, I don't want one of those. My mom makes them all the time.
I don't know why that makes him think that he's somehow exempt, but yes, it's the truth. He doesn't want it, and his mother does make it all the time. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever is on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. And before we get on with this this new article here, I want to thank M. Yakovich, who's a gold amplifier. If you go to amp.freetalklive.com, you too can become an amplifier, where you help us here on Free Talk Live to reach more people. And we're on more than 200 radio stations and getting more than 100,000 downloads every single month. And the reason for that is because of the amplifiers. No doubt about it in my mind. So thank you, M. Yakovich. I happen to know his first name, but it says in Yukovich here, so I'm just going to leave that alone. For amplifying, it's amp.freetalklive.com. So coming from reason.com, I'm going to completely switch gears here from the plant-based diet article to an article from Reason about Justin Amash. So for those that don't know, this is a representative from Michigan, and he recently sort of gotten sort of hot water with Trump because he, I don't know, said stuff about the Trump administration. He's not a big fan. And he recently resigned from the Republican Party. And that's a pretty big deal because one would wonder, can he retain his seat as an independent? It's been done. Bernie Sanders manages to retain his seat as an independent in Vermont.
I guess if your constituents like you, they'll keep voting you back in.
If they recognize the name and they aren't, you know, the parties have their little scare tactics, you know, the Democrats going to get in, or the Republicans going to get in. And that's how they keep out, in part, these minor parties. And an independent is just somebody without a party in general. I think it's a better idea to switch as an independent, you know, to switch after you've been elected and have some name recognition. And Amash certainly does in Michigan. But anyway, let me read this article here because it's talking about a possible libertarian run and what that would be like. So when Representative Amash, independent, Michigan, consciously decoupled from the Republican Party on the 4th of July, he also left open the possibility that he might run for president in 2020 as either an independent or a libertarian. He didn't say, but one would presume it would be one of the two. If he chooses to do that, he will most definitely make it harder for either President Donald Trump or the eventual Democratic nominee to eke out a victory. I don't know. I mean, he's leaving the Republican Party. That suggests to me that he's more likely to pull more Republican votes. I know that the libertarians definitely want me to believe that libertarian candidates draw equally from both sides, both Democrats and Republicans. I personally don't believe that. Now, how do you fact check this particular claim? I don't have a fact check for it, but I have a gut check, and my gut check says that he's going to draw more Republicans than he is Democrats. But whatever. If he chooses to do that, he will most definitely make it, harder for either President Donald Trump or the eventual Democratic nominee to eke out a victory. I did read that. Obviously, the next president will be either Republican or Democrat. But his presence will make them work much harder for victory. So Reason Magazine doesn't seem to think that he's going to win if he does run. And if he draws more votes from the Republican than from the Democrat, then, well, do you want him in the race if you're a Republican or Democrat? Do you want him in the race at all if you're a Republican? I think a lot of Republicans are going to vote for Trump because they feel like they don't have another choice. And if voting for the Libertarian then gives them, you know, brings in the Democrat, I mean, it's kind of a George Bush, Ross Perot, Bill Clinton kind of vibe going on. George Bush Sr., to his dying day, as he was groping ladies from his wheelchair, believed that Ross Perot, who died, I believe, today or yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
God rest his independent soul. He believed that he was the reason that he lost. And I don't know. Sounds like a legit claim to me.
Yeah, I think that's just, you know, part of the WWF. I mean, the politics of presidential campaigns. I mean, when old man Bush died, you know, you had all the scumbag, you know, Democrats there. Oh, he was such a great man.
Yeah,
they're all just worshiping him, and
they wished for the day that they could have a Republican like Bush pack.
Yeah, and I'm talking like the Clintons were there, and was it Nancy Pelosi? And you know, they're all buds behind the, you know, behind the Iron Curtain, essentially. They just, you know, they all play golf together. They're all buddies with the same, you know, law firms, and they do all kinds of backdoor stuff we don't even know about.
Yeah, indeed. I think we might find out a little bit more of their backdoor stuff having to do with this
Epstein
situation, and I'm very curious. Some interesting news coming out of Zero Hedge on that particular topic. So as Amash's former policy advisor Kirk Kochman explains in a column at CNN's website, the congressman presents an alluring policy profile that would certainly draw from both major parties. And, well, let's hear what he has to say on it. As a constitutionalist, consistent proponent of liberty, devoted family man, and faithful Christian, the now former Republican can easily attract votes from otherwise reluctant Trump voters. So, yeah, I can tell you that a cousin of mine who has, or a nephew actually, who has never voted third party in his life, decided to vote for Gary Johnson because Gary Johnson was a better Christian than Trump was. He just couldn't bring himself to do it because that was important to him. And Amash would make it very easy for him. He'd be like, oh, well, yeah, that's a clear win. And anybody who cares about the Constitution and the ideas of liberty is certainly going to find Amash more palatable than they're going to find, say, Trump or whoever the Democrat is bound to be.
Maybe Amash can do a little like Ron Paul did about spreading the ideas of liberty, because there's got to be a lot of folks, especially in his district and who follow him, that are Republicans that might not come over to the libertarian side, except for they got this guy Amash that they like, and they like a lot of what he says, and he decides to go libertarian. That's what I'm hopeful for, something like that. I mean, it wouldn't be, I don't think he could have the impact Ron Paul had, in 08 and 12, but he could on like a more regional level where he hails from.
Yeah, well, Amash has got some name recognition, even in the liberty sphere, there's no doubt. And I don't know if he's going to bring people in that would not otherwise vote like Ron Paul did. But he's probably going to get a lot of the people that would vote.
I'm just saying, spreading the ideas of liberty.
Sure,
getting them to at least exposed to libertarian ideology, which is, then they're going to, come across guys like Vermin Supreme, and they're going to come across, other, people like Nick Sarwark and, Gary Johnson, which they may have never even heard of these guys, just if he goes that way.
In competitive states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and, of course, Michigan, small margins make a big difference. Also, he would draw votes from Democrats. He opposes corporate welfare and other forms of corruption. He vocally backs civil liberties against both parties' leadership. He stands against global militarism, and he frequently engages bipartisan coalitions to advance reform. And all these things are true, and I would say would be attractive to some Democrats. There's no doubt about that.
I wonder if he would pardon Ross Ulbricht. That'd be a good question for him.
Yeah, it would be a good question. I wonder if he would pardon Ed Snowden.
Oh, sure. Yeah, all those guys. Leonard Peltier, who's the guy up there in Alaska that Jordan Page is always talking about. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either.
Oh, darn.
Recall that Hillary Clinton pulled just 80,000 more votes in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. If she had pulled just 80,000 more votes in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, she'd have been beaten Donald Trump. Amash might have limited name recognition right now, but he's definitely a known quantity in the Wolverine state, and his appeal is going to be strongest in Midwestern states such as Wisconsin, Ohio, and Indiana. The western part of Pennsylvania is effectively part of the region, too. And I'm not promising my vote to anybody right now. Again, I have said, just as Jay just pointed out here, that if Donald Trump pardons Ross Ulbricht, then he's got my vote. But until then, my vote isn't promised. But I'm likely to vote for the Libertarian, whoever that is, simply because when it comes to voting in the presidential election only, I understand that they're the commander-in-chief. Their single greatest power is the ability to move the military. The military, the United States military, has been used in far too much foreign adventurism, and I think that that's bad for the military personnel themselves and for nations around the world. So I vote against militarism every time. People who are pro-peace get my vote, because I believe in order to have human freedom, you first must have human beings. So that's where my vote goes. And that's why I like Tulsi Gabbard, too, even though she's by no means a libertarian. 855-450-37.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dynavite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dynavite supplement, and then the LicoChops.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
Dinovite.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Talking about a possible presidential run for Justin Amash, who is a former Republican representative from Michigan, now independent. And Reason Magazine's making the argument that he could pull from both sides. Now, I don't know if he could pull from both sides equally, and that's kind of important.
So is he looking to run as an independent or as a libertarian?
We don't know the answer to any of that at this point. It's all wild speculation, but that's what people do this time you know, in the cycle. They wildly speculate about who's going to run and what it's going to do, and I mean, that's why they call it a horse race, you know?
You know, the more major, the more people at the end of it all, as far as I'm concerned, the more parties that are, the more people to vote for, I mean, I really like. The problem is, you know, this lamestream media is just, they're really just pro one party, and that's Democrats and Republicans, the same party as far as I'm concerned. They don't do anything different. That's best I could tell, you know?
Well, I see differences, but nonetheless, I generally don't vote for either of them because I don't think that they're
sufficiently. They just make government bigger and more wasteful every time.
Right. They have different lies that they tell their constituents, I think is what I find to be the major differences between the politicians.
After 4 years of a Democrat, I have less freedom. After 4 years of a Republican, there's less freedom.
Yep.
More taxes, more debt.
Going on here says, yes, it's early, but none of the Democratic candidates has anything approaching the charisma and upside potential of Barack Obama and Donald Trump. Despite hitting a career high approval, it is still still disliked by a majority of Americans. That's Donald Trump. I'm sorry. The way the sentence was structured, it got me. Sorry. But none of the Democratic candidates have anything approaching the charisma and upside potential of Barack Obama. And Donald Trump, despite a career-high approval, is still disliked by a majority of Americans. I think, this is the article writer here, let me scroll up and I should have given it Nick Gillespie, so the big name from Reason. And I suppose in that case, his thoughts are important. I think that Trump, absent a recession or new scandal of immense proportion, is likely to win in 2020. But the race that'll be as razor thin as the one against Clinton. Having the Heartland resident Amash in the mix could easily swing things one way or the other. The Libertarian Party presidential candidate Gary Johnson pulled a record 4.5 million votes in 2016. The equivalent of 3.3% of the overall vote. And that's a strong argument that a character like Amash, especially if he's running as a libertarian with ballot access in all 50 states, will be able to replicate or even improve on those totals. Let's talk about ballot access for a moment. So it's one thing to say Amash could run as an independent. It's, you know, the words just fall right out of the mouth. However, it's really hard to run for president.
Well, you can't even get on a ballot in Arizona, according to Ernie Hancock's show this morning. He was talking actually about Perot, and I think he was talking about Amash a little bit too. And he was saying that back when they did it like 15, 20 years ago, they redid the article, whatever, for, you know, voting or whatever. They just conveniently like made it so it pretty much only, you know, Republicans and Democrats. And Ross Perot had like was like one of the last guys that was able to like have ballot access in Arizona for presidential, from what I understand.
I'm no expert in this, but I heard it was Oklahoma that was the hardest. Nonetheless, it's the Libertarians often manage to pull off 48, 49, 50 states. So I don't know if the libertarians have been on in Arizona recently. That would be something to
check. So you're telling me that all 50 states don't have the same ballot?
Nope.
And the
why?
The RNC and the DNC are these private nonprofits.
Yep.
That's what they are.
Okay.
So back in 2008 and 2012, I did the watchthevote.com stuff. I actually was in Hinsdale, New Hampshire in 2012 and was Jaffrey, New Hampshire in 2008. I drove up from Massachusetts to watch them count the votes to make sure that there was no funny
hanky
business
panky
going on, you know. And what was really cool about the 2012 one when I was in
Hinsdale,
Ron Paul in that town basically came in second on the Democratic primary because in 2012 they changed it. So if you voted Democrat the last time, you had to
vote.
Pre-registered 90 days previous to the primary, either unenrolled or as a Republican, to get a Republican ballot.
Right.
So when I was in Hinsdale, so many people were like really pissed. I mean, I was there all day long. I actually called in pizza because I didn't want to leave, you know, from some pizza joint. And they, everybody that came in is like, oh, what do you mean I can't get a Republican? I'm like, dude, just write in Ron Paul on your Democrat one. And okay, you know, and they did that. And
that was actually in the state of New Hampshire that Ron Paul came in second in both the Republican and the Democratic primaries in 2012.
That's awesome.
But There was a thing where the RNC gave Ron Paul's votes to McCain. They flip-flopped them. And there was an article in the Boston Globe where they showed, like, the one they weren't supposed to take a picture of. This was a big thing, and then they were going around gathering up affidavits from people like in New Hampshire and other places. And there was a few voting districts where they actually had enough affidavits, people swearing that they voted for Ron Paul, because you don't get a receipt when you vote.
Right.
When you put it in your electronic voting machine that's made by the same company that makes ATM machines, it doesn't spit out a receipt saying you voted for whoever, and then you could verify your receipt. This is where I think blockchain is going to become interesting in voting someday. But there's so much, you know, and there was a lawsuit. So basically, because the RNC is not a government agency, it's not part of the government, it is a nonprofit that they can
run.
We
pay for their elections, though, and the DNC.
Right. Well, the town of Keene's also not a government.
Tell me what that stands for.
Oh, Republican National Convention, Democratic National Convention.
Okay, I knew it was Republican, Democrat, but didn't know what the other was.
Yep. No problem. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Gene calling in from Memphis area. Gene, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I thought I'd talk about Flat Earth and something I discovered.
Oh, my.
Well, I didn't just... It's not something I discovered in Alaska, but something I realized in Alaska because I lived
speaking
up there
of Alaska,
for years.
Schaefer Cox is a guy that I wanted to get that name out there. He's another political prisoner that needs to be pardoned, and he's from Alaska. Not to interrupt you, Gene, but just while I thought of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, you know, I lived in Alaska for several years, and we were up there visiting family, and we got there just after the longest day of the year. And in Alaska, it's interesting because on the longest day of the year, the sun only sets for a few hours in Anchorage. If you're in Anchorage or Fairbanks, the sun just kind of dips down below the northern horizon and then comes back up about two or three, you know, about 3.5 hours later. And so I was wondering, how do the flat earthers explain that? In fact, in Fairbanks, where I used to live, you can drive about an hour and a half north to a place called Circle. And on
Gene, there's some bad audio going on here. I don't know what the deal is, but it sounds really bad. Okay, maybe it's cleared up.
Maybe it's my phone.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
But in Anchorage, there's a place where you can go just north of Anchorage, about an hour and a half. It's called Circle, and you can go there on the longest day of the year and actually watch the midnight sun, because once you get north of Circle in Alaska, you're above the whatever parallel that is, that allows you to see the sun at midnight, so it never goes down. And so I was wondering how the flat earthers actually get away, you know, what do they do when presented with this kind of fact?
Well, I don't know.
The earth is flat if you can see the sun at midnight
Well, they claim that the sun's kind of like a flashlight, right? So it pushes a light down in sort of a circle. Like if it's dark and you take a flashlight, you turn it on, there's usually a circle of light, and that the sun somehow works like that. To me, it's quite a stretch to make the point, and I believe that probably 80% of the flat earthers are just making crap up.
So the other stars are all flashlights too, right?
I don't know. You got me. Well, we'll see, Gene. We'll see what they have to say on it. The number is 855.
But anyways, if you got any flat earthers, have them call in.
Yeah, thanks for the call. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Oh, Jay.
And Angie.
I'm sorry. I was watching the video, and I was like, oh, man, that just caught my attention.
Yeah, we get our bevy of producers send us all kinds of stuff all the time, and thank you for all that do, but... You know, got to do a radio show, too.
Discord is a little distracting sometimes when you're here.
Yep, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. And, well, call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. We're reading this article from Reason Magazine about the possibility of a Justin Amash run for president as a libertarian or independent. And I think it's very interesting. Speaking of libertarian-type stuff, check out Freedom's Phoenix. It's a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. So if you want the newest and freshest stories and perspective on current events from those who value liberty, freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. And look, if you don't know how to spell Phoenix... Neither do I. Every time I try it, I fail. But
you too,
your search engine does. Because all you have to do is write freedomsphoenix.com. They'll figure it out in the search engine, freedomsphoenix.com. Let's go on here with Nick Gillespie's article from Reason Magazine. Describing Amash, he's young, 39 years old, charismatic, and articulate. I think that the age is... strikingly important. We had a couple of oldsters running for president this last go around, but one of the reasons people liked Obama was he was young. They want somebody who's fresh, old enough to be, you know, reasonable in the head, but
that's also the reason they liked Clinton, because he was I think he was like one of the first youngest presidents, right?
I think so too. Yeah, I think he was like the youngest since JFK. And I agree, Amash it isn't presented as somebody by anybody. Nobody says, well, that guy's crazy. You know, they don't tend to look at him that way. He's pretty even keeled, and he can present these ideas in a charismatic fashion. Every bit as much as a younger characteristic, such as South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, a married gay veteran, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a Latina Democrat socialist, he represents a new generation of outspoken idealists who are bringing new identities to national politics. And that is, to me, when Biden was the front runner just, oh, I don't know, seems like it was just yesterday, probably 2 weeks ago, Biden was the front runner before, you know, maybe he'll make it. I don't know. I'm not making predictions.
I hope he does. He is going to be the best guy to troll, because I'm going to go bring my pony. I got a little Shetland pony that was at the wedding. You guys might remember her.
Yep.
Little unicorn. She's all white. And when Biden comes over and tries to pet my pony when I'm at the Vermin Supreme gatherings, Vermin's going to be like, don't you dare pet my pony. She's only 8 years old. You leave her alone. I know.
God,
get your
funny.
Grubby, slimy hands off that pony.
That's going to be great.
We talked about it at Pork Fest. We're going to have fun with this, and I hope Biden's at least at these things and comes over and checks the pony out.
Right, and Biden brings nothing new to the table. Nothing new at all to the table. He is old Democrat politics, and I mean, if they bring that guy up, I think that that's just a death knell for them, in my opinion. Not that I think that's a bad thing, but he's yucky, and they do away with their very best cudgel against Trump. So Trump's got audio out there of talking about touching women where the sun don't shine and all kinds of things like that, and you just don't touch there unless you ask first, and
then you get permission.
Yeah, you got to get permission. Well, yes, you have to ask and get permission. That's how this order of operation works. And look, obviously he's by no means easy for the Christians to swallow, because he's gosh, so much about the guy's distasteful. So with Biden, the Democratic Party gives up all that great fertile ground. Now, I guess Warren or Kamala Harris or whatever, these are the new ones that we're supposed to look at. I keep an eye on it. I find the horse race as interesting as anybody, but I don't think we can pick anybody at this moment that's going to come out on top. But I do think that Amash does have new ideas. And if the Democrats don't come up with somebody who seems new, whether they are or not, seems new, then they don't have a leg to stand on, because Trump knows how to beat him up. He knows how to win, and it's going to be hard to beat him. Amash is the child of Syrian and Palestinian parents, had no idea, an Orthodox Christian and unabashedly libertarian. Even if you believe, wrongly in my opinion, that libertarians make up at most 4% of the vote, that's ridiculous, because maybe it's Libertarian Party or people that understand the term libertarian or can tolerate the term libertarian, but people that are fiscally conservative and socially liberal, those people, that's a large percentage of the U.S. population. The winner in 2020 is going to need every vote he or she can scrounge. For a better estimate of the proper size of the libertarian electorate, read this. So he's got a link to another one of his articles. Amash's presence will change how all that sorts out. And so Nick Gillespie's saying that if Amash runs, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the two candidates that are going to be the, obviously Trump. It's going to put Trump and whoever the Democratic nominee is. And, yeah, I think it will. I think that Trump is going to have to pay attention to whatever it is that he thinks Amash stands for. Whether he likes it or not, he's going to have to pay attention to it. Because Trump has managed to sort of straddle the line amongst all the people that might vote Republican or at least be scared away from voting Democrat. And until he gets some pressure, like from Amash, he doesn't have to perform like a libertarian.
Well, another thing that Trump's had going for him last time around is he wasn't running against the most evil witch, the wicked witch of, the United States, Hillary, who is just, hated by anybody that really looks into her.
Right. Well, you could like or dislike Hillary or have voted for Hillary. That doesn't really matter. But you can't give up the notion that she is what's probably the most disliked woman in America.
For sure.
And of all these other Democrats over there, there's a lot of Democrats I've talked to that don't like Hillary. They just don't like the Clintons. And then there's some who they wouldn't care if it was Adolf Hitler himself running. They're giving them the vote.
Right. They've actually said, I've seen Facebook posts that basically say as much, that, it doesn't matter if it's Joseph Stalin. Doesn't matter if it's the gulags for the Republicans. Doesn't matter. I'm voting for whomever the Democrats put up because I cannot stand Trump. And
I got a one
said as much many times
that is like that. He says, yep, you could reincarnate a 38-year-old Hitler right now, and if he got the Democratic nomination, I would be voting for him, and I would have his signs all over my house, is just what I was told.
Right. And there are people out there that believe that. And obviously, if Hitler were to run, somebody analogous to Hitler were to run, they're not going to say, to the gas chambers with the Jews. They're going to start out with something really palatable, a chicken in every pot.
It's for the kids.
855-450-3733. Your thoughts on Justin Amash run? What will it do? What'll happen? 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free. Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you are free to call in and talk live on the airwaves here tonight. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
855-450-3733. We've been through the gamut of things this evening. Angie brought in an article on eating a plant-based diet. I brought in an article on whether Justin Amash is going to run as a libertarian or independent. All these things are very interesting, and you can comment on that or, well, anything else. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. The number is 855-450-3733. And Jay, you brought in something.
Yes, this is from Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden.
Durden. So every article, I believe, at Zero Hedge is by Tyler Durden. Tyler Durden is the character, the main character from Fight Club.
Oh, okay. And this is June 26th, 2019.
So this is written anonymously, basically.
Okay.
And Zero Hedge is by no means an unbiased source, but I read it every day because I find it, they uncover things that you aren't uncovering elsewhere, and they source everything.
Yeah, I found this scrolling through freedomsphoenix.com, actually, because I get those emails, and I read that one every
day. The Daily Dispatch. Yep. Get it at freedomsphoenix.com. Before you go on, I want to tell business owners how they can take cryptocurrencies at their business. If you operate a retail business, and maybe you go to people's houses, maybe you got a storefront, whatever it is that you do, you probably should try taking cryptocurrency. Why? Because there's a loyal group of people out there that you're currently not servicing. And once you do, you're likely to be the only one in your area that does service them. So do you want a whole new customer base that you didn't even know about? Well, they can help you get it at helpmetakebitcoin.com. AnyPay.global is a great site, and they're going to help you with your point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance and make it easy for you. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register that you can carry around with you, or even just a cell phone, if, say, you're a plumber, well, all you have to do is have your smartphone, you pull off your gloves, pull out the smartphone, let them pay with cryptocurrency. And once you do, I think they'll recommend you to their friends, too. It's helpmetakebitcoin.com, helpmetakebitcoin.com.
I actually use Bitcoin Cash to buy a seltzer, a 99-cent bottle of seltzer from All in One Market today. And the guy said,
Where's that at?
That's in Henniker.
Henniker, New Hampshire. The only one in the world.
Yep. And he says...
That's what they say on their sign, by the way, when you drive in, like population 17, the Henniker, yep. The only one in the world.
The only Henniker on earth.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. You see it every day.
Yeah, I do.
I don't see anything. I go buy it maybe once every month or something.
And anyways, so I walk in there and a guy says to me, he goes,
by the way, the people that name their towns, I don't know, Salem, Oregon, Salem, New Hampshire, Salem, whatever. Good Lord, can't you come up with something? They did it at Henniker. Just it's another name. You have a mom, name it after her. Somebody in town's got a mom, name it after them. I mean, obviously we can't have two Sallys, but, how about a Sally, an Edith, a Hazel, an Angie? Good Lord, these are important people in the world. They gave birth to you. Name the town after them. Don't name it after some other town.
So he says, most of the people going All in One Market, they know them. They're all locals, people who drive by there every day. And he says, yep. He goes, some stranger's been showing up with cryptocurrency, he told me.
Yep.
People, faces he's never seen before. And
where have they been coming from, Jay?
Mostly
from you.
They're either friends of mine yep. or they've, some of them say, they don't all say that Jay told me to come here, but I do tell people to come there, but just randomly people have been showing up. And so the word's kind of, but I talk about it on Facebook. I talk about it in the telegram chats and stuff.
And helpmetakebitcoin.com has a map where it can help people. But, it, you know, once you have that one evangelical cryptocurrency user that can come to your business, then they're going to help spread the word, too. And that's what's happened here. You know, this guy at the what's the market called?
All-in-one market.
The all-in-one market. He doesn't care whether it's coming from helpmetakebitcoin.com or Jay Noon or, you know, why people are coming in. They're buying things. And that's a great thing for a small business.
And they also, being businessmen and watching financial cycles, understand crypto, and they understand the value of it. But getting into the article here. The headline is Merrill Lynch caught criminally manipulating precious metals markets thousands of times over 6 years.
And so this article is not exactly new, but it's not old either. It's about 2 weeks old, tops.
Well, yeah, it's about 2 weeks old. And, you know, this is just another thing in the news that's, I think.
Well, it's not in the news, though. You know, well, the thing is that, you know, here it is, 2 weeks gone, and I had not heard a thing about Merrill Lynch caught criminally manipulating precious metals markets thousands of times over 6 years. I hadn't heard that because it's not interesting. It's not part of the news cycle. It's not some billionaire that is getting young gals to do untoward things with him at his house. This is Jeffrey Epstein.
Angela, I had no idea what you were talking about.
Terribly sorry. It's not like you're plugged into the news cycle either.
No.
You like your news and nutrition oriented. And I mean, it's just not, it doesn't have the sizzle, but this is really important.
Well, this is the kind of stuff I like kind of look for because I'm into it and I, you know, and this is what I tell my friends every day about this kind of stuff. So the article goes on to remember when it was pure tinfoil hat conspiracy theory to accuse one or more banks of aggressively, compulsively, and systematically manipulating the precious metals, i.e. gold and silver market.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that, you know, when I first heard this stuff, oh yeah, whatever. They're manipulating the gold and silver market. Sure, that's what everybody says.
We do. After all, we made the claim over and over. Well, to demonstrating clearly how said manipulations was taking place, one or often in real time. Well, it's always good to be proven correct, even if it's years after the fact. On Tuesday...
And that's the thing that libertarians really have a difficult time with, is that, you know, we say things are happening, and you don't have...
Proof.
Like, proof, like hard, solid news proof.
Or simple to understand, simple to digest proof. You can have proof you want. How can you prove to me that Bitcoin is secure? How do I know that it's, you know, not going to be hacked? And, you know, I have this argument... debate with people all the time, and that's really hard to prove to somebody that doesn't have the concept of blockchain technology and what nodes are and things like that. It's not a simple conversation.
Yeah, but you can't explain that simply to someone like myself. I have no idea, and I've heard it a couple of times, but I can't follow it. So you can't explain it to someone new and expect them to understand.
Right. I mean, to some extent, when it comes to certain technologies like Bitcoin, you just have to give up and say, yeah, I believe that because an expert told me.
I trust the geeks.
And we do, you know, we do this all the time in our lives. I actually saw a...
We do it every time we get in a car. We trust that the wheels are going to stay on the car. They're not going to fall off.
We've also driven in the car before, too.
Right. So this is why people need to use cryptocurrency and exercise it.
Yeah. And they need to get a little bit and try it out and see how it works and all that sort of thing before they get a whole bunch. And you can be hacked. It's just that Bitcoin itself can't be destroyed through hacking. So, for instance, if somebody got some kind of, you know, screen reader or whatever on your phone and you put $10 worth of Bitcoin on there, then, yeah, it's possible for them to get it.
Keyboard loggers, fish you for your passwords or whatever. So anyways, back to the article. On Tuesday after the close, the CFTC... And I forget what the acronym is for.
Consumer something.
Oh,
okay.
Well, the CFTC announced that Merrill Lynch Commodities, MLCI, a global commodities trading business, agreed to pay $25 million to resolve the government's investigation into a multi-year scheme.
$25 million, that's nothing for Merrill.
Yeah, they made probably 10 times that doing this.
A multi-year scheme. The government spent more than $25 million investigating this over the course of many years.
Right, this is what happens. Government's a protectionism racket for these people.
Yep.
A multi-year scheme by MLCI, Merrill Lynch.
That's Merrill Lynch, yeah.
Precious metals traders to mislead the markets for precious metals futures contracts traded on a COMEX commodity exchange.
Right.
The announcement was made by
Assistant Attorney General Brian Bajowski, or whatever his name is. Yeah, I mean, and here it is. We've been saying it for a long time, and they're announcing it, and it's not even news. Yeah. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Hey, it's Free Talk Live. You are free to call in and talk live on the airwave here. Airwaves, or just one airwave, I don't know. I don't know how I can work that out for you, but I'll try. The number, 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie. It's
855-450-FREE is in Free Talk Live. We're reading this article here from Zero Hedge, which I'm always careful when I read their articles because they definitely take a certain view on the issues. But man, oh man, I never have proven them wrong. I mean, they cite their sources and they do good reporting over there. And in this case, they're talking about, something we've been talking about here on Free Talk Live for years, but not all the time.
I call it counterfeiting gold and silver. In a form of the paper markets.
Yeah.
And I don't believe they even use that terminology in a Zero Hedge article, but I've, you know, when you look at some of these charts get pointed out where gold, you know, drops significantly in 6 minutes, and there's these orders to sell X amount of tons of gold, like sell 6 metric tons of gold, and then 3 minutes later sell 12 metric tons of gold, and then a few minutes later sell 7 metric tons of gold. Well, and it's all being sold through the COMEX exchange. And
that's a lot of metric tons of gold. Is anyone ever going to take delivery of that?
And what they do is actually, they mentioned in this article somewhere, they cancel the delivery basically right after the buy goes through. They cancel the delivery. So, and there was one of these guys was explaining on a YouTube video and showing these charts. I forget who it is, but I'm kind of, you know, into studying this stuff. And he talks about how they sell like 27 metric tons of gold out of the COMEX exchange in like 6 minutes on these whatever high frequency trading platforms, or I don't know what they are.
Right. Where are they keeping this 27 metric tons of gold?
Well, the COMEX exchange only in their audit only says at that particular time there was something like 4 metric tons, 8 metric tons.
Right.
Like they're selling they've gotten busted so many times.
Yep, they just keep on doing it.
They just get away with it.
And nobody's trying to stop them. And then Merrill Lynch gets this little fine here of $25 million. I mean, Merrill Lynch isn't going to stop manipulating commodities markets over a $25 million fine. That's chump change. That's not even a fraction of, well, it is a fraction. It's a small amount compared to what they're making doing it.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, when you understand Bitcoin and people understand what their private keys are, the private keys, if you hold them in a wallet, it means you actually hold the Bitcoin. But if your Bitcoin's on an exchange like Coinbase, you don't hold the private keys. And actually, Coinbase can stop you from taking your Bitcoin if they feel like it. People lost money in Mt. Gox. I know I have a good friend that lost 12 Bitcoin in Mt. Gox. I mean, that's enough to buy a house with right now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And we tried
to warn people about Mt. Gox here on the air on Free Talk Live. I said it over and over again for people to get out of there because it was clearly a mess. But not everybody listens to Free Talk Live every single episode.
And my friend that actually had that 12 Bitcoin in Mt. Gox when it crashed, when it went defunct, and he didn't even know about it until I was like, dude, you hear Mt. Gox went under or something? He's like, what are you talking about? So he's trying to like go get his Bitcoin out of there. And he heard about Bitcoin from Free Talk Live.
Mm.
Back in like 2010 or something. And the thing is, getting back to the private keys, is essentially in the gold and paper markets, we don't hold the private keys. Nobody holds the private keys to gold and paper.
Well, you hold the private keys to gold if you have the gold.
If you have it in your vault, which right. which almost nobody does, and which is all the trading in gold and silver is not guys like me and you swapping gold and silver or whatever, or people just doing it physically. Nobody's taking physical delivery. Very few people are in the United States anymore.
Right. When they're doing the commodities exchange, COMEX, they're likely not wanting to take delivery. I mean, what are you going to do if somebody, with a metric ton of gold, even if you had enough money to buy a metric ton of gold, what are you going to do with a metric ton?
Store it.
And so they're like, I don't want to take that. Well, the companies that the deal with the commodities exchange, they know that. So they're just selling the same gold over and over again to a bunch of different people.
And they're happy to pay the fines. Yep. Because they make so much money on gold
and silver. The fine's just a tax on them doing business. It's not even a fraction. Well, it is a fraction. I keep saying it's not a fraction. It is a fraction of what they're doing. But, I mean, it's just a tax, basically.
So if there's any callers, people are going to start yelling at their phone right now. And call into the show if you know the answer to this. So January 3rd is becoming a special day for Bitcoiners. And the idea is if you have Bitcoin on an exchange, everybody brings all their Bitcoin home on January 3rd to keep the exchanges honest. If you went and everybody demanded physical delivery of all the gold and silver that they have in paper on the same day, it couldn't happen.
Right. They'd suddenly get honest real fast.
So in my John Birch Society reading as a youngster, I read about a guy named Ishmael Mayer Rothschild.
Okay.
And in the year of kings, queens, and lords, he decided he would hold people's gold and silver on deposit and give them certificates. And this was like a little cartoon I read as a kid. And what he would do is he looked like the Monopoly man in the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
And so what he would do is, you know, that you'd see the happy guy was so happy giving his bag of gold bullion and having some pieces of paper because they were easy to deal with.
Well, yeah. I mean, and there's no doubt that banking is a service. I mean, Angie, why do you put your money in the bank?
Because it's easy to get to.
It's right. It's easy to write a check.
Use my card.
Right. Those kind of things. Banking's a service. There's no doubt. And we've gotten used to not having to pay anything for banking services, writing checks and, you know, free checks and free debit cards and free all those things.
You're the product.
That's just the like reason. Facebook. Is because, you know, they've got a sort of tricked hook, line, and sinker into this whole thing. Whereas back when you would put your gold into this Rothschild's vault you're talking about here, you should pay that guy for taking care of your gold, and probably did. But what he found out and figured out at some point was, you know, people put their gold in here, and then they exchange these receipts for gold with
warehouse
each other.
Receipts, that's all dollars are.
Yep.
Right. So if I have, you know, I don't know how to articulate it otherwise, Angie, but if I have, say, $10 worth of gold in my bank and I want to buy, you know, two chickens and some eggs from you, and I give you the $10 receipt, that's money. And then you take it and you have the chickens and eggs, and you're like, well, I don't need any gold right now, but I do need some milk and some yarn.
So I take it to Jay.
And you take it to Jay, and then Jay takes the $10, and Jay gives me some metal work gets some metal work for me, and then, you know, it just goes on in a circle, and you know, this is how these things started. And the dealer or the gold vault guy, he's like,
he observed
I don't have to have this stuff.
Yep. He observed it, so he started creating notes that had no gold behind it. And then, and in a little story, it was like, well, people started to distrust Mr. Rothschild, and when they came back, there was no gold in the vault, and basically no Rothschild. He couldn't be found, Mr. Rothschild. He run off to everybody's gold, and there was, you know, a little village crisis or whatever, a financial thing.
Yeah.
But getting back to the article, as Merrill Lynch itself admitted, beginning in 2008 and continuing through 2014, precious metals traders employed by Merrill Lynch schemed to deceive other market participants by injecting materially false and misleading information into the precious metals futures market.
And these scandals come out. I mean, I don't know if I'd call this a scandal because nobody even knows it happened. This is news from 2 weeks ago. Did you hear about it, ladies and gentlemen?
I had no idea.
Right. Of course not, because it's not being pushed. This is as important as the LIBOR scandal, and we just, like, our banking system is a series of lies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I can understand why people don't try hard to save money, because saving money just means that people are going to take it from you. They're going to rip you off. That's what this whole thing is about, is moving hands from financially responsible people into the hands of rapacious thieves.
I think Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, market cap of cryptocurrency is really going to skyrocket when a lot of the first world starts getting hit with negative interest rates on bank accounts. They're talking about it.
It's really close. They're talking about lowering the rate again in July. Yep. I don't understand. It's so crazy.
What do you mean by negative interest rates?
So basically, when you put money into your bank account, you'll have a negative interest rate to where every month you're going to lose money. But like if you have a loan and you're one of the friends of those guys who make the loan decisions, you'll basically have a negative interest rate loan, which is actually happened by the European Central Bank. And
it happened by Japan very recently.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. And what this means is that money gets very loose. So would you, taking out a loan for $100,000, Angie, and every month you pay back just like any other loan,
right?
But in total, you actually pay back less than you borrowed.
But you and I will never get access to those loans.
No, that's what that's how that works for the banks. But the banks loan have
credit card companies get
lower rates. So what it does is it injects more cash into the marketplace and just creates it out of nowhere.
And this is how they want to fund universal basic income.
Oh, yeah. Every other great government program that they're trotting out here. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live. Coming to you live. If it's between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time, well, we're live here on Free Talk Live. The chances are very, very good. Now, we do some traveling now and then. Now, we've done a live show every day for going on a decade now. But that, you know, in some cases it's recorded if we happen to be traveling. But the vast majority of the time we're here in the studio, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
The number is 855-450-3733. Let's go right to the calls, Jay. Before we get back to your article on gold manipulation and Merrill Lynch paying some ridiculously small fine, we've got Jet calling in from the United States, listening on YouTube. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, Jet, what's on your mind?
I have to call in once a month, you know, and kind of work you through a certain exercise, if you will. You know that list you have on the wall?
Yes, it says don't say government. Say people or goons or mafia, gang, idiots, lunatics, devils, thieves, killers, liars. Go ahead.
Well, keep adding to that list, like tyrants, despots, you know, psychos, all that good stuff. Keep
parasites.
To it as you go on. Parasites, yeah, good one. See, this is the what I've been trying to convince Mark is this is a way to nullify governments by turning them into just people. You know, people who have the only way they've gotten into their position is by what's referred to as usurpation, which is simply taking over a position or taking the right. In other words, you know, the logic is since we don't have the right to do what they do, we can't delegate to them or use them as our representatives to do the things that they do. So that's the thing. So I wanted to ask
what they tell us, they tell us that they that we've given them the rights.
But what they don't tell us is that their governments aren't actually operating. These are municipal corporations that call themselves governmental agencies. It says that you read the city of Keene city charter. There is not one place in the Keene city charter where it says Keene, the city of Keene, is a government. But what it does say is that they are a governmental agency calling themselves a municipal corporation. And what is very important is the language structure, the sentence structure, the grammar structure, the suffix AL on the end of a word means similar to or like. And it's really that simple.
I don't even want you guys to think of the terms of anything in the global sense, the universal sense. I want you to think of them as people. I want you to refer to them as people because this is the way that all governments have been removed throughout history is when the individuals, the group of people, the populace begin to think of these people as just other people who have no right to do anything they do, that's when it changes. So if you would eliminate that word government as being a noun and use it as an adjective, you've nothing more than simply adding the word people, the government people, or government this, government that.
Yep.
But to use the term government by itself just won't do it psychologically. You understand what that is saying there?
Yes. I think that's it's even better prescription for what it is that we've got here. Maybe it's time for me to put up a new sign so that it's even more clear. But I think you're right. Just say government people. And then as opposed to the government, because people think of the government as this sort of monolithic, abstract, scary thing. And in fact, what it is, yeah, is just a group of people who have found out that, hey, people think we're important and what we do is important. Mm. So we'll, and in some cases, they provide services that are important. There's no doubt that, you know, fire protection is important. But does it need to be provided by the state? Because I don't think it does.
They've built themselves huge, monumental, ornate buildings. They've taken your money and built to themselves these halls of Valhalla so that you will think that they were near to gods.
And they've got it set up so where these building contractors, in order to be eligible for these government contracts, have to jump through all these hoops and all this red tape, that it literally only leaves a very, you know, small amount of the actual able-bodied contractors that could do this work. It's just a small fraction of the ones that are available that are eligible. And because it's such a small pool now that they have to, you know, bid from, or that can bid, they can pretty much ask their price. They can pretty much name their price, and they have to name their price because in order to maintain on that list, you have to kick back. I mean,
government humans, just practice, and thanks very much.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jet. Appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Yeah, Jet calls in pretty regularly to remind us of these things, and I've got to say, I don't know why my mind has not wrapped around it, but it has not, and I think it's good advice.
I just refer to them as parasites. I call them parasites right to their face. I was talking about the parasitic people in government to a guy who was actually a Massachusetts Westfield Mass code enforcement officer, and this was at a get together last summer down in Massachusetts. One of my friends had a party that he invited me to when I went to, and he thought it was pretty amusing, and he said that he couldn't disagree, and he really liked that I could call what he does parasitic work with such a good vibe, and so that's what he was impressed with.
The thing about it, in the case of the zoning guys and stuff like that, they really are. Now, people will say, without these zoning rules, all our houses would be crap or whatever. But would they? I mean, it's not like the zoning.
I want my house to be safe.
Yeah.
I'm very particular. I'm rebuilding a house right now, and I'm very particular about it. And I'm doing things like better than like what's required by code. And I've had contractor friends who's like, wow, you're putting more effort into this than you need, you know, for example. And, you know, you only need.
Sure. They don't build houses for themselves.
Right. And, you know, code only requires this. And I says, well, I want this. I don't want to be doing this again in 30 or 40 years is what my answer is.
Yeah. But I mean, does the zoning board offer a guarantee? If you buy a house and it was built in relatively recently, do they offer a guarantee if for some reason something breaks?
Or nope.
No, of course not, because nope. They're not responsible. Now, if it was actually somebody out there that gave a rating to a company for building, then and the government stands in the way of this. They make it more difficult for these companies to operate because they already offer this sort of low-level guarantee, which is, well, it was built to code.
Yeah,
we have a code.
It was built by a guy that has a special piece of paper that has the stamp of the state on it. You know, and
yep.
What's that worth? You know, you're going to go after the state because they certify, you know, if somebody drives like an idiot and wrecks your car, can you go after the state because they gave him a license? You know, even though he obviously doesn't know how to, you know, drive.
Yep, it's pretty clear that they're not responsible for their actions. What government means is a group of people who are not responsible for their actions.
That's a great definition.
I mean, because the government has these, I should say, government people have claimed for themselves these sovereign immunity or limited immunity or a whole variety of these immunities that they have for their actions. They use the terminology. It's not like I can sue the zoning board guy, the guy who came by and signed off on the piece of paper. I have to sue the town of X.
Well, here's the problem. So the government of Keene, New Hampshire, has this government immunity, this sovereign immunity. But the municipal corporation, calling itself a governmental agency, which is actually just a charity, does not have diplomatic immunity. I mean, doesn't have sovereign immunity. They can be held liable, and the people working for this charitable organization can also. So we got to make sure we sue, you know, the correct entities. And this is kind of something I learned the hard way when I sued the town of Palmer. And in federal court,
they took your house from you.
Over property taxes, and I sued them over it. And in federal court, they said, "Oh yeah, they have immunity; they can do this." Basically, but I sued. I wasn't super clear that this is a charity, and I didn't have all the evidence gathered up. Now I'm working on a whole other tax deal to where I am slowly gathering up all this evidence that they are a charity, that they are not a government, and that they don't even have any evidence that subjects me to their so-called code.
I am interested to see how that works out, but I also want to hear how Merrill Lynch is manipulating the metals market. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. The number's 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
So Free Talk Live has recently teamed up with another marketing company. And the reason is because this new product that they have is something unlike I have ever seen in my 25 years in the marketing business. I was so impressed with it that I just had to be involved. And if my listeners who have businesses want to reach more people than or reach people in a way that they've never reached them before, I want you to go to 123.freetalklive.com. I believe that this is probably going to be the best return on investment for ad dollars that I've ever seen, especially when it's new and less costly. And what it is basically if sometimes you take pictures and people go to Walgreens or CVS or whatever to get photographs. Sure. Why don't they? What if you could have those photographs just delivered to your door? What if you had an app that took your pictures and say, oh yeah, I like this one, this one, this one. You can pick 40 pictures and have them shipped to you. Would you do that for free? Of course you would.
I'm going to actually do that. I just went onto their website. I'm sending it to my wife.
123.freetalklive.com?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure whether there's a link to the app there for people that would want to actually get the pictures, but this is for the businesses to advertise at 123.freetalklive.com. And how it works is, well, yeah, of course people want free pictures sent to them. Well, what if they had an ad attached to those pictures through a little perforation that they could tear off and their picture looked perfectly fine after that? But, I mean, nothing's for free, right? So this is basically direct mail where you can almost guarantee somebody's going to open up. What do you do when you get a direct mail piece? Chances are good if you know it's a direct mail piece, something trying to advertise to you, you toss it before you ever open it.
Recycling, yep.
Yep, right into the recycling. Or, you know, into the burn pile or whatever your life is like. Well, and one can understand why people do that. But if they ordered the pictures themselves, of course they're going to open it. And then your ad is sitting right there in their hand. And photo ready, gorgeous ad right in their hand. You know that's going to be a nice turnover. The number, 123.freetalklive.com. It's one, is because it's easy as 123 doing this. 123.freetalklive.com.
The website is pretty friendly on my mobile browser, so that's cool. Some of them are just don't even work, you know. But this one here looks nice.
Yeah, that's our website, I think, that we set up as an interface. But I'm glad it did work. Let's go to Toby calling in from Georgia. Toby, you're on Free Talk Live. Tobias.
Hello.
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 Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Is this Toby?
Yes, sir, it is.
What's on your mind,
How
Toby?
Are you?
All's well.
I got in on the last of your conversation about Bitcoin.
Uh-huh.
I am very interested in buying Bitcoin.
Okay.
But I don't know where to go or what to do.
All right. Go to Bitcoin.com. At Bitcoin.com, okay. You can purchase Bitcoin in a variety of ways, including with a credit card right there. And they have other options for you once you research the site and that sort of thing. But if you just go to straightbitcoin.com, they'll have a menu there where it says buy Bitcoin, and that's probably the easiest way for you to do it. They have a wallet that you can download, and then you can use the wallet to buy Bitcoin right there. And I believe you can use a credit card to do that, or you can go through their local .bitcoin.com to buy it from somebody. But if you're kind of a neophyte to it, then I might recommend just using their web wallet and buying with a credit card.
So I do a lot of work here in New Hampshire, and I offer a heavy discount, well, 25% discount essentially for my services. I do like property management and snow plowing and welding, and I do a bunch of things. I pretty much want to just work for people who love liberty and are into liberty. And so for Bitcoin, if you pay me in Bitcoin, I use 25% off of, I'll give you, versus cash. And I tell people to go to Bitcoin.com. It's right on the back of my website. And they say, okay. And not once has anybody ever called me and said, I don't get this. I don't understand it.
Yep.
And I've never done it myself, but at least 12 people, I think, is the number in the past. This year, 2019, have actually gone to Bitcoin.com because it was worth it to save 25%, whatever it was I was doing for them. And basically what I get from them is a text message, hey, send me your Bitcoin Cash address. And I send them the Bitcoin Cash address, and 3 or 4 minutes later, you know, I pick up my phone and I just received the Bitcoin Cash for whatever the job was.
Right here, if you go to Bitcoin.com, across the top menu thing, it says Get Started. And that's okay. The best thing to do, Toby. And thank you for the call, because I know a lot of people have been wondering this, and I probably should have been saying it every time I talk about Bitcoin.com.
What were you talking about? You want to hold it yourself and not...
Correct.
Right.
I got in the last part of the conversation. Yep. That's
so
why.
That's important, and... If you go to Bitcoin.com, they're a site that's going to make sure that you are holding your own keys. There are other sites out there, keys being the private keys. These are a series of letters and numbers that you don't really need to worry about. But they're going to make sure that you're set up properly, as opposed to other websites that will let you buy Bitcoin, but then they hold it for you like a bank holds your cash.
Okay.
And but nobody offers interest. So there's no reason to have a bank hold your Bitcoin. You know, the best way to have your Bitcoin is to have it in your own wallet. And if you go to Bitcoin.com, the wallet that they're going to have there for you, and it's a great starter wallet, is going to have you hold your own keys. Because the guy who set it up, Roger Ver, he heard about Bitcoin on Free Talk Live, and he understands cryptocurrency, and he's very clear that you need to hold your own money.
Yeah, and there's other wallets you can use too, but the Bitcoin.com wallet is one I always recommend because it's easy. Like, if you try to send Bitcoin Cash to a Bitcoin Core address, it won't let you. It will actually tell you,
it'll stop you, yeah,
that you can't do that. So when Bitcoin Cash first came on the market and people were sending Bitcoin Cash, I accidentally sent someone a Bitcoin Core address once, and I lost it. Well, I don't know if I lost it. But it's gone somewhere or something. I'm not sure what happened to it, and I haven't gone through the steps to revitalize that wallet to get that, which I allegedly can get that Bitcoin Cash out of there. But that mistake just can't happen with a Bitcoin.com wallet, so it is very user-friendly in that aspect.
There are certainly other wallets.
And I won't lose my coins, right?
That's correct. It's secure.
Okay.
Now, the one thing that could happen potentially is that you could have a phone that has some kind of malware on it or something. So what I do is, with the currencies that I want to keep in, you know, more secure, I have some that I carry around on my regular phone so that I can buy a hamburger or a soda pop or something like that. But for the ones that I want to keep more secure, I take an old cell phone that I have that I've done a hard reset on, and you can find out how to do that on the internet relatively recently. Yes. And then I download all the stuff new that I need. So basically the Bitcoin wallet. And that way it's, I'm sure, much more sure that it's secure.
And it's a good idea that that cell phone doesn't have a SIM card in it. So it's not hooked up or not like on a, you know, a cellular service. You just use it through Wi-Fi so you can't get SIM hacked.
Toby, thank you for the call. And call us if you need more help.
Thank you.
855-450-3733. Doing Bitcoin help here on Free Talk Live.
That's great.
I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet, at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet.
Free Talk Live. Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. We take your calls about whatever is important to you. It's Mark here with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
And that's another thing is that I like to, I see all these people, I've pretty much given up on Facebook and social media, but Facebook mostly, that's where I was. Not that I don't have an account, I do. But I mostly just try to keep myself from posting on it because, by and large, there's nothing positive going on there for me. But I see people all the time posting something or other on the internet. And, for instance, I have to make posts for Free Talk Live's page because, well, you know, we've got a page with 90,000 likes on it and got to keep it curated and all that stuff. And I don't know, maybe at some point I'll just give it up on it entirely, but today I'm not going to. And by the way, we, you know, I mean, our advertisers want us to mention them on our Facebook page because they know that Facebook's an effective advertising medium. And so more or less I have to keep it going. And that's fine. I don't mind, you know, making the posts here and there. But then, you know, as a result of the posts, I see people posting on my post, right? And, you know, I made some comment about, I posted an article about Tulsi Gabbard being called an isolationist by NPR. I mean, isolationist, some lady who doesn't want to blow up people in foreign countries isn't an isolationist.
Well, that's what they did to Ron Paul.
It is what they did to Ron Paul. They're taking this term just because, you know, Pat Buchanan is probably an isolationist. This is somebody who wants the economy to be insular in the United States, to not buy things from other foreign countries as much as we can, and to not sell things as much as you. I suppose they really don't care if you sell them or not. Like, what does an isolationist care if businesses in the United States sell outside the United States?
Well, they do care because it that causes inflation when all those U.S. dollars start coming back at us.
But maybe they do. But either way, I wouldn't think they would, but maybe I'm wrong. So, but your military isn't the way you do business. The military is just the way you create enemies.
If you have a banking cartel, that's what you use to make sure that your money is used as a unit of exchange. Use the military.
Yep.
You use it sanctions.
And Tulsi Gabbard was quoted here as the last couple of days as saying basically World War II was the only war in U.S. history that's justified. And I posted on there the Pacific theater of World War II wouldn't have happened had it not been for the FDR administration attempting to get basically orchestrating is what the term I use, orchestrating the war with Japan. And all you have to do is read the McCullough memo. Just go right now. Google the McCullough memo.
And also another fact of the Pearl Harbor attack is what you're talking about.
Yep.
Is that U.S. Standard Oil, who was owned by was a Henry David Rockefeller, I believe, or his son. I'm not sure, but it was started by Henry David Rockefeller, literally fueled the Japanese fleet so they could go do this attack. And this was something that came out, you know, in the 90s. As I first heard about it on, you know, Alex Jones, and he was quoting some stuff that got declassified during the Clinton administration. And but the same thing with the Nazis, you know, it was, you know, Rockefeller was a financier of the Nazis.
Yeah.
So was George Bush's grandfather.
This is what these international financiers do, is they play both sides against the middle and they win.
because they hold the debt of both sides.
Right.
So they hold the debt of the losing side and the winning side. They don't care.
And I also pointed out that the European theater of World War II wouldn't have happened had it not been for the United States intervention in World War I. And some guy didn't like that I said it. Now, he didn't present any facts or anything, but, you know, just started tossing out name calling or whatever. And I said, tell you what, call in. Well, he's not going to do that. He'll take the time that it takes to write a couple of mean missives on Facebook, but pick up the phone and talk about something of importance on a nationally syndicated radio program.
It is funny how these keyboard warriors, they get so aggressive behind the keyboard. And then I didn't even think about the thing with the phone call, but there's a guy who's a keyboard, angry keyboard warrior. And I saw him at Pork Fest last year, and I started teasing him about something he was flipping out on, you know, about Ian about. And I was actually making him a hamburger, and he would not talk about it. He just kept on smiling, kind of giggling a little bit like Angie is over here. And he's almost blushing a little bit. And he just was standing down. And I says, you want to talk about it on Facebook afterwards? Because I know you love to talk there. But there are people who will go crazy on the internet, but they won't even make a phone call.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I mean, if something's important to you, you can post to a couple of dozen people on Facebook. By the way, one of the reasons that I'm not as interested in Facebook as I used to be is Free Talk Live used to get, we had as many as 19 million post views 1 week on Facebook. That's a lot of post views. Now we're getting per post 500 1,000 on a good post views. That means,
well, the algorithm's squeezing you out.
Well, the algorithm is about getting paid for Facebook now.
Oh, okay.
It used to be we were building their business, building their the currency as a social media.
I've noticed that in the marketplace. Now they're like, oh, boost your listing. I'm putting stuff on Facebook Marketplace, which is like an alternative to Craigslist, which has actually worked quite well for me in the past few months. And then I got things that are on Marketplace, and they have, you know, 5 views in 3 weeks, to where other things that I've put on 2 months ago had, you know, 800-900 views in 3 or 4 days.
Right. So what they do is they build their platform by, you know, basically giving you the free advertising, like Craigslist did, right? Like, lots of people use Craigslist. And the reason is because it's a free way to advertise effectively in your community. Why wouldn't you use it? Well, Facebook understands the same problem, so they get people to, to use their marketplace by essentially giving away views, because they're selling views.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then when they've got a sufficient number of people wanting to use their platform, that's when they start charging. And all they need is a few bucks from you.
And so I did boost one particular item.
Right.
Because I have hundreds of these things that I bought really cheap, and just people came out of the woodwork. The thing went to like 900 views in like 3 hours, and a couple of days later.
How much did you throw at it?
I think it was $5.
Yeah.
That's pretty cheap.
I mean, for just, you know, one of these things I'm selling, you know, it's totally worth it.
Yep.
In fact, I pretty much sold out of them now.
Yeah.
These steel I-beams.
For $5.
Pallets of them. Yeah.
You had pallets of steel I-beams.
Right.
Go on with the Merrill Lynch story. Sorry for basically
recap this
eating
right
up your
quick.
Time here.
Merrill Lynch caught criminally manipulating precious metals market thousands of times over 6 years, and they've basically admitted that their employees were participating in this by injecting materially false, misleading information into the precious metals market. Article goes on. They did so in the now traditional market manipulation way by placing fraudulent orders for precious metals futures contracts that at the time the traders placed orders, they intended to cancel before execution. In doing so, the traders intended to spoof or manipulate the market by creating the false impression of increased supply or demand, and in turn to fraudulently induce other market participants to buy and to sell futures contracts at quantities, prices, and times they otherwise likely would not have done.
So they created FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They just put in false information, lies into the marketplace, and that's it. This is one thing that markets are susceptible to, is markets are truth as far as value goes at that moment. When you insert lies into the scenario, then it's not truth anymore.
If we, the people participate in Proof of Keys Day, which is every January 3rd, and we take home our Bitcoin from the exchanges. If everybody removes their Bitcoin from the exchanges, this is how we will keep Bitcoin honest. This is how we will keep
You could do it with gold, honest. Too, though. You could take delivery of the gold or silver that you buy on these COMEX exchanges.
But what's happening here is when Merrill Lynch is selling the gold, they cancel the orders. So you can't even do it. You can't even trust them.
You've got to find the right time to buy.
There's no gold blockchain. That's the problem. Can't audit gold.
You can have it.
You can have it, but you can't audit it.
855-450-3733. 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. Final segment of Free Talk Live. Call in. Well, we might be able to get you in here if you call in. The number is 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
Jay.
And Angie.
I want to tell you about Freedom Fest. Freedom Fest. We are going to Freedom Fest, Free Talk Live, and we are going to be hanging out with all kinds of important sounding folks. Penn Jillette, Candace Owen, John Mackey, Stephen Moore, Grover Norquist. How about Justin Amash, John Stossel, Glenn Beck, Herman Cain, Senator Mike Lee, Kevin Sorbo. Looking forward to seeing Kevin Sorbo, actually. Thomas Massey. All kinds of big names at Freedom Fest. It's at the Paris in Las Vegas, July the 17th through the 20th. So that's just around the corner, folks. You can still go to freedomfest.com/FTL. That's freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets. But it's coming up next week. I'm excited to be there. And excited to see all these folks. You can see the best speeches from last year if you go to freedomfest.com/FTL. And you can come hang out with us. Judge Napolitano is among those speeches there. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50. Save $50 off your ticket because we want you to come out and hang out with us. freedomfest.com/FTL. Jay?
Back to the article here. Of course, since we're talking about a bank, and since banks are in charge of not only the DOJ, Department of Justice, and virtually every other branch of government, not to mention the Fed, as in the Federal Reserve, nobody will go to jail. And Merrill Lynch entered into a non-prosecution agreement and agreed to pay a combined measly $25 million in a criminal fine.
Yeah, Merrill Lynch paying $25 million is nothing.
Under the terms of the NPA, I don't know what that is. Yeah. Is probably this agreement that we talked about up here.
Non-prosecution order?
The non-prosecution order. Merrill Lynch and its parent company, Bank of America, had to agree to cooperate with the government's ongoing investigation of individuals and to report to the department evidence or spoofing provisions of the Commodity and Exchange Acts in Bank of America's, BAC's global markets.
Commodities, business, and this is just a whole bunch of gobbledygook. It's their function to conduct wholesale principal trading and sales of commodities. Laughably, Merrill Lynch and what is this, Bank of America here, also agreed to enhance their existing compliance program and internal controls where necessary and appropriate to ensure that they're designed to detect and deter, among other things, manipulative conduct in BAC's global markets commodities business.
Translation, it will be much more difficult to catch them manipulating the markets next time.
Right. So basically the government put a little tax on them for ripping people off and now has made it harder for them to get caught doing the same trick again. Let's go to the phones. We've got David calling in from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Kevin Sorbo, big time fish person.
What's a fish person?
The band.
Oh,
right.
Fish person. No. Not no peas involved. F-I-S-H.
So he's a fisherman?
Fish person. You know, the people that drive the vehicles with the with the secret symbol on the back of their car, the fish people.
Jesus fish.
Yeah.
Okay. I had no idea.
So be careful.
Well.
Could be dangerous.
Well, I think he'll be fine.
I see him all the time.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
Well, I had wanted to talk about the Zorro Ranch and Mark saying that he invites young girls over to his house to pet his dog.
But, it was out in the street.
But yeah. Save it for the jury.
Yeah, save it for the jury. Sure.
We'll talk about that another night. But since Jet brought up something that was on my list, I wanted to comment on that. And I think I understood what Jet is saying, and it's been on my list for a long time. And
there was a caller previously who called in this evening who basically said, don't say the term government because it's big and scary. Use the term government people, and that then breaks the spell.
Yeah, and I want to go a level deeper, and I think this is what he was saying, but I don't want to speak for him. So next time he calls in, he can clarify if he wants to if I'm on to it or not. But the way I view it, and I think what he may have been somewhat saying is what I'm thinking. That is that the government is illegal at this point. They're completely outside of the law, which makes them illegitimate. And so when I encounter a cop or a DMV, MVD worker, or anybody else, you know, basically, like Jay, you say to their face, they're a parasite. I tell them that you still have the power to damage me, but you don't have the authority. Your boss has broken the law, and they are no longer legitimate. That makes you not legitimate. So you just go ahead and do whatever you can get away with. But just remember, what you're doing is illegal, and it's illegitimate, and we will get rid of you as soon as we can. Until then, go ahead. Exercise your unlawful power, sir.
Don't never tell them. Never give them permission to exercise their unlawful power. But
well,
yeah,
the way that I said it, the way that I said it is mocking enough that it's obvious that what I'm saying doesn't mean what it's saying in a pragmatic manner. It's loaded language, meaning implied what I'm saying to mean the opposite.
Yeah, you're being sarcastic.
What he is saying and what I agree with is that, or what I think he's saying and why I agree with, and what I would urge people to do is every time you encounter a government worker, tell them exactly that. We want you guys out. You have no legitimate power. Quit your job. Get the hell out of here. Yes, but you still have the abusive power to be able to not follow my directive, but at some point you won't have that power anymore, and it might be dangerous for you. So I would urge you to please quit your government job while you can.
Now, David, what you have to say is actually excellent. It's excellent advice. I believe that we need to tell these parasites, we need to explain to them what's going on and what they're doing to people. But
how do they benefit from it, though?
Kill them with kindness, not to get angry at them, not to be like an a-hole in their face, because that just, if you get angry with them and riled up with them, you're just an a-hole now, and nothing else really matters. But if you can literally kill them with kindness, well, not literally kill them, but kill them with kindness, and be pleasant and polite, which is something I believe I've gotten really, really good at, because I have engaged heavily with the adversary. And many of them have been like, they just couldn't believe that I just remained so calm, cool, and collected with them, and they appreciate that. And I used to get angry, and
it's hard not to.
You just don't get any results that way.
Even better idea then. You get several million people killing them with kindness, and I'll get several million people killing them with anger. And between the two factions, maybe we can do something about them.
So let me ask you guys, what's the benefit to the government bureaucrat for quitting now? I mean, if I'm sitting here in some government job, fat and happy, and everything's going okay in my life, and I've got a job that I don't
Let me answer. You're getting to the end of your program, so let me answer your question since I know what you're asking. There are already millions of young people that will not become a cop. And the cops know this, and they won't become a cop because they don't want to be hated like we hate you.
Well, there was an article we had last week that I didn't get to, and it's still sitting in my show prep, that, in fact, recruitment numbers are down for police. But,
right, they're down.
I think the only thing to do to solve that for towns is at some point they're just going to have to raise the rates. I mean,
and that's what they're doing. I saw a thing. New York State troopers, I saw this winter. and they were like, starting pay was like $74,000 full benefits. It was in a truck stop in New York, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, $75,000 if you're talking about living in some crap hole upstate New York place where nobody else can get a job, and then you get a $75,000 job, you are Mr. Moneybags in that town.
And they're having a tough time recruiting.
So, yeah, I agree with that. Raise the pay so that the caliber of person interested in the job goes up, so that the higher the caliber of the person, the less likely that you'll have people that want to abuse other people. Because when you pay better money, you get better people. But the bottom line is, like I said, I want to reiterate, it's already working, because there are millions of young people that absolutely will not go into law enforcement because they don't want the rest of us to hate them, because we do hate you.
David, I appreciate the call.
So let me add to that real quick. So I'm working on drafting up a letter to give to the tax collector, and I'm going to call it my notice of extortion. Maybe I won't call it that, but I want to have a clear, precise, polite letter basically explaining that the private sector cannot retire because the private sector is forced to pay for the retirements of the public sector.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately what it is that we all have to work so that the government can continue to function. That's how they see it anyway.
The tax collector is enslaving me, and I would like her to understand that.
FreeTalkLive.com.
Business owners, you want more customers? Accept cryptocurrencies. There's people all around you just waiting to spend money at your store. If only you would take it. I know, you've been waiting till someone else makes it easy. Well, good news. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com adds Bitcoin to your point of sale, totally free. Use the same equipment you already have, now with Bitcoin. And unlike credit cards, there's no fees. Let the guys at HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com bring new customers to your store. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year.
I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a Big Ten approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. FreedomFest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to FreedomFest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to FreedomFest.com/FTL. FreedomFest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.